Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Looking forward to the day, and I'm going to get going here. Man, I've got a whole extra 5 minutes. I mean, I'll get done 5 minutes early, and we'll hear some banjo playing, some singing, some guitar playing, some bass playing, some piano playing. We got talent running out our ears today, some singing and goings on. And our talent is not only limited to picking and grinning and singing. You're going to find out what wonderful cooks this church has. Amen. Stick around for dinner. Lunch, I guess. What do they call it? Dinner? Christmas dinner. Anyway, good to be out. And there's still some folks drifting in and out. You folks know what to do and how to do it. You do it. And kids are into Sunday school or whoever is going. I'm in the book of Daniel chapter 3 this morning. As you remember, last week we talked about Daniel chapter 3. And we outlined the chapter for you. And we've been teaching verse by verse, and I'm not going to exactly go verse by verse this morning, but we'll dwell sometime in chapter 3. We spend a lot of time answering the questions that came up in the book of Daniel. No more time with that. But we outlined the chapter, verse 1 through 3, was the golden image. There are a number of things that are paramount that stand out in this chapter. And one of those things is the king, Nebuchadnezzar, erected an image of himself, which was basically out of proportion to any other image. Thank you, Pastor, very much.
Association meeting of the Southern Baptist.
Okay, thank you. All right. So it's either that or the Union Hall. So I guess either one there. The golden image is he resurrected that thing. We talked about it and had his, looks like his image in, on that thing. And he wanted everybody to bow, so on and so forth. We went through the typology last week and some of the things that these things mean, and how they still affect the world today, especially in pagan religion. And we talked about verse 4 down through verse 7, which was the process of worship to the golden image. And there's always a process when it comes time to worship. And I'm not just talking about God. I'm talking about the world does its worshiping. It does its testifying. The cults do their worshiping. And man has that in him. He wants to bow. He wants to worship. He wants to lift something up, even if it's himself. And that's a big problem in the day and age that we live. People are lifted up with pride. And we talked about that a little bit. Then we said, verse 8 through verse 12, the Chaldeans' accusation against the three Hebrew children. Three Hebrew children, as we told you last week, the fiery furnace represented the tribulation period, and they represented the Jew getting through the tribulation, the remnant that was there, and the Lord showed up. We went through all that, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. I want to develop that thought just a little bit this morning, but we laid that out. I just want you to know the chapter breaks down in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 ways, and I want to give them to you again. I do have a copy of the teaching lesson that I'm teaching from today. If you would like a copy of that, we'll make those available to you. I just didn't think. When I smell food, I go brain dead. I'd only smelled food. I smelled coffee. I smelled pumpkin pie. Maybe that's because I ate a half a pie before I came. No, I don't know. But I forgot to get them printed. My apologies. But I do have some scripture on this one. It's a 1.5. That's last week's. It's a 1.5 pager. If you got to have that, we'll get them done for you. Maggie's headed this way, but okay, we're good. But you know I have it, so we'll get it to you, so don't worry about it. Anyway, the breakdown, and I'm not going to weary you with that. I have last week's and this week's. I'm going to jump into what I want to say to redeem the time a little bit and get on with it. And I want to develop that thought down in verse 23, 24, 25, right in there. Actually, it starts in verse 19, but for the sake of the lesson, I'm going to shorten this down and abbreviate it just a little bit, and you'll get what I'm trying to say. And I want to make five points. I want to talk about the desire to worship, the desire to fellowship, the desire to walk close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the desire to win others to Christ, and a desire to lose your own image. And that'll be wrapped up in what I want to say this morning. But in the lesson, a lot you can learn when you study the scriptures. Look at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was anointed, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for this word that preserved it and has it here for me to hold, to read, and to love, and to teach. And I pray, God, you bless the teaching. In a minute, Lord, bless the singing, and bless what's done here. Bless the giving. Bless the preaching that Brother Tilly comes and preaches, and bless everything that's done. We're looking to you. And Lord, we have a longing in our heart to worship and to praise thee. And we wonder what heaven must be. But now help me this morning as we teach in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these few verses of Scripture, it's an account of the time when the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace. This fiery furnace was a premeditated thing. It had already been built and probably been used maybe other times. I don't know. Back in the heathenistic times, these kings were polytheistic. And at the premier point of their religion, they wanted somebody to worship them. They thought they were gods. We say, well, Daniel, he had that dream, and Daniel discerned that dream and told him that dream. Surely he thought God was God. You'd be surprised how delusional some people can be, even when you introduce them to God. And you wonder, why can't people get this? This thing. He didn't get it all the way. He's going to get it in a minute, but he didn't get it. That's why he built that image and resurrected it up. And he was so serious about this thing and getting the worship that he wanted. He built a furnace. Now, I don't know if they used that to cast the gold. I know there was a fire in the days in Exodus chapter 32 when Moses was upon the mountain. Aaron was down there and they threw the gold and broke it off and put it in there. And oh, Allah, out come the golden calf. I don't know. He might have used that furnace to smelt the metal. I have no idea. But I know this. The furnace is a picture, if you please, of a number of things in the Word of God. It's a picture of the world. It's a picture of paganism. It's a picture of the judgment of God. It's a picture of the trials and tribulations that you may have to go through according to the book of Peter, where he said, think it not strange when these fiery trials shall come upon you. And this morning in the lesson, I'm leaning a little more that way. Because everybody wants the gold and everybody wants the silver and everybody wants the precious stone, but nobody wants the fire. Say, well, where's your... Well, I read this a couple times this week, maybe three or four times, maybe five or six. I read it a couple more times yesterday. And I looked at that thing and I said, you know what? We as Christian people living in America today, we don't like to live next to the fire. We live too far from the fire. And if I had to title this lesson this morning, I'd say, living too far from the fire. Now, if I'm a real hillbilly, living too far from the fire. But you're getting it, amen? Because you got it. And we don't like the fire. You say, what's the fire? The fire is a picture of the tribulation, the trial that you're going to go through as a child of God. Now, I want to bring up a few things here. As we read, the fire furnace is definitely a picture of a major trial for the three Hebrew children. And I don't think they cared one way or the other, because to be at in our mindset today, to be absent from the body, to be present with God, for a child of God. I think they loved the Lord God of Abraham. I think they knew who he was, and they'd already decided in their mind, we don't care what happens, but we're not bound to that thing over there. We're not bound to you or anything else. We bow to one God, and that's how a child of God ought to think. And let's take it a step further. If you say you believe that, and you say you live like that, and it's a lesson for us, I don't think we want to embrace the furnace. I don't think we like to go through anything. Because if we have to go through anything, well, number one, you're going to have to get close to God. Huh? And that's what's wrong with a lot of folks, because first thing they do and something happens, they call the preacher and they try to get close to the preacher. Say why? Because they think he's close to God. This is a personal thing that lies on the shoulders and the breast of every person that's in here today. And I think, matter of fact, I know Christianity today lives a long way from any trial, any persecution. Doesn't want it to come. And well, anyway, let me say this. Peter said this, and I quoted about a third of it. 1 Peter chapter 4, about verse 2, the scripture says, beloved, talking to the saved folks, you and I, me and you today, people that know Christ, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, look, every person's going to go through something. There's people sitting here today, if we stop would take testimony now, could tell you the things they've been through and the fire they've been through. And one thing that I hope they should say, if they would testify, is I was closer to God in that time than I ever was before in my life. We've got people in here that's been through some things. And they've dealt with cancer. They've dealt with sickness. They've dealt with disease. They've dealt with death. And brother, those are the things that overwhelm someone's soul. And brother, when you get like that, know this from the Word of God. When you find yourself in the midst of a trial fire like that, know this, the Lord wants to meet you there. He'll be there. He'll walk with you. He'll protect you. And that's kind of how I wanted to slant this thing this morning. Because people say, why are we under such persecution? Why did they have to go through that? And we sit back and look at somebody going through something and we just can't understand what's going on. Listen, when God shows up, you'll get the grace to go through the fire if you're a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, that hell, that fire is a picture of hell. And believe me, the Lord invented hell. And for the delusional mind that doesn't think God could walk through that place, according to Ephesians, looks like he might have went to the lower parts of the earth. Amen. Maybe he did a little preaching. Say, well, there's no way God could have ever went to hell. Look, he's in the furnace there. He made it there. He made it for the devil and his angels. Look, if he made it and he's the creator God that can speak and things happen, he can sit right down in the middle of the place and do what he wants to do. Amen. Amen and amen. We serve an awesome God. But in hell, for a lost man, he's not there to comfort you. He's there. He's already been there and led captivity captive out of the other side of the gulf. Now, that's over. He's not coming back. If you go to the fire without the Lord Jesus Christ, he ain't showing up. Amen. Amen. And look, think about Jeremiah the prophet. We today, we're Christians, we're saved by the grace of God, we testify, it's great to be saved, we know the Lord, so on and so forth. But man, when a trial comes along, something wrong. And I meet preachers all across the land, like probably Brother Tilly or Brother Tom goes and does a lot. We meet preachers all across the land. And I find there's something missing in a lot of these guys. There's no fire in their bones. You say, why? They ain't never been through nothing, so they don't have nothing. Amen, brother. You know, I heard an old preacher say he's dead and gone now. I think God just about has to break a preacher down. Let him go through something before he can actually minister to anybody. Let me give you a little something here. Jeremiah, the prophet, said this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not say. Say, what was wrong with him? Listen, he'd been through quite a bit. He lived in the fire of those days. It was in the time when the nation of Israel was going away from God, and he was called the weeping prophet. He was so moved with the apostasy of the nation of Israel that he wept and he preached the word of God to these people. He had gone through some things. He had felt the fire, and the fire was burning in his soul, and when he got up to speak, people knew that he could speak because there was something on fire down on the inside of that man. Somebody asked Whitfield, why did people come from miles around to hear him preach? And some of them young preachers that he was teaching, he said they'd go out and preach and people would beat them up and throw them in jail, and they'd come back and say, hey, you know, when you get up and speak, man, people gather for miles around to hear you preach. What's your secret? He said, you got to have something burning down on the inside of you, man. Preach like you're on fire and people come see you burn. Amen. I got news for you. A lot of people won't come to this church. Amen. But if this church should burn, God forbid, and go up in flames, there'd be everybody here to watch it burn. I got news for you. Some of the pastors and preachers in our land catch on fire when they got in that pulpit. They'd come to watch you burn, baby. Amen. And we don't want to live next to the fire. And we want somebody else to have the fire. Now, I don't know, but I get the indication through this thing here at the fire and the Lord down there in there with him. They throw him in and they wanted this thing. He wanted this thing hot. And generally when you go through something, you know when you're in it. Man, this is hotter than anybody else has ever had it. You know that. They stoked that thing up seven times hotter than ago, according to our text. Now, they let them. They said, hey, put your coat on, put your hats on, put your hosen on. And by the way, Let me bind you up. And they wrapped him up with some kind of rope. And the guys that threw him in, it cost them their lives when they throw those guys in. You say, well, why did they put the hose in the side? I've got to thinking about that. Did you ever notice how cotton burns and clothes burn? And, I mean, they probably wanted more on them because when they threw them in, they just burn a little hotter.
Yeah.
You say, you think they thought like that? Yeah, I'm human enough and to understand that. I'd probably be putting gasoline on them. See how they fry. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But I like what he said down there. And he looked there and he answered and said, lo, I see four men. Watch it. Loose. Now, you may be bound when you go into your trial. You may be bound when you go, and you might be bound by the devil. You might be bound by sin. You may be bound by disease. You may be bound by somebody's death. I don't know. But when you go in there, now, it wasn't the fire that burnt the bands. Amen. Because the hosen wasn't burned, the hats wasn't burned, the coats wasn't burned. And you say, well, how did they get loose? He said they were loose. I think the Lord Jesus Christ loosed them. Brother, that's what you say, you're reading too much into this. No, I'm not. This thing bothered me all week. I told Pastor this thing bothered me, tearing me up. We live too far from the fire, and we don't know nothing about how God can liberate you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I thought about precious Dan Lee. He's gone, Pastor. He died. And we preached his funeral right here. Guess what? He graduated. He is liberated. The bonds are free. He's over there. By the way, he's got two legs today. Amen. Huh? Looking good. But that Bible says, take your Bible if you could, go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. Before you get to the book of Matthew, about a 400-year gap in there someplace from Malachi to Matthew. But I want you to notice Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare a way, the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delighted in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? Question. And who shall stand when he appeareth? Talk about the second advent. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Let me tell you something about the fire. Brother, there's going to come a refiner's fire upon this earth one of these days. We said that the three Hebrew children pictured the nation of Israel in their remnant form in the last days. And the fiery furnace was a picture of the tribulation and their imminent destruction. Even at the rise of an image, we told you and taught you that the image is going to show up in the dream. It's going to show up on the plane. And it's going to show up over in the book of Revelations. It's going to show up one more time in the book of Daniel. And we said it's associated with the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar is a type. For the hello. Probably God trying to tell me to get on with the lesson. I don't know. So if he leaves you a voicemail, let me know. But that refiner's fire is a fire that's going to purge. It's going to clean. It's going to draw close. It's going to break bounds and binds and bindings. And I gave you three or four things that I wanted to get across this morning. One, a desire to worship. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no desire to worship the image. But brother, when they got in the fire, they worshiped the Lord. They fellowshiped with the Lord. They were walking about loosed in the fire with the Lord. Now, a lot of Christians are never going to enjoy that because they live too far away from the fire. You say, what are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying, look, if you have to endure a little suffering, you ought to endure that suffering joyfully. You say, well, it may kill me. Then embrace it like this man here did. They didn't care. And like John R. Rice said one time when accosted in the parking lot, when somebody threatened to shoot him, he said, son, don't threaten me with heaven. I mean, that's how we ought to think about it, amen? He said, do you think about it? Yeah, the older I get and the more aches and pains I get, the more I think about it. Amen. So the fire, a desire to walk close. And we want to stay out of the fire, it seems like. And take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said one to another. Now, I'm moving along too good to slow down now. Amen. I'm watching the clock. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And I'm not preaching. I'm holding it down. I'm being kind. We'll get some preaching in a minute. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Most Christians don't know what that means. Their heart has never burned. There's no fire. If there's a fire in them, it's been watered down. It's been wet down. It's been sinned down. I mean, their bucket can't get full. It's shot so full of holes with gun smoke and some of that other stuff, you couldn't fill it up. Amen. But here they had walked with this man. They had walked with the Lord. Anytime you get around the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be an emblem of a fire and somebody fanning that thing and exciting you because of the flame that's within you. Listen, when you got saved, you should have got a fire. Amen. The Bible says, my God is a consuming fire. And I don't think it's taking it out of context when Jeremiah said, there's a fire down on the inside of me and I could not stay. So, man, I am preaching. I better watch it. Okay. He says here, and did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures. Brother, my desire as a teacher and a preacher and an educator of the Word of God is that people would sit up on the edge of their seats just every once in a while because there's a fire burning and we kindle the fire just from the scriptures, just from the Word of God. And it brings us out to know that we can have a desire to walk with him, have a desire to be loosed in him, have a desire to fellowship with him, have a desire to win others to the Lord Jesus. How do you think the three Hebrew children felt when they come up out of there and the king called them to come on up out of here?
Yeah.
It changed their life forever. You know, when somebody has to go through something, it changes them.
Yeah.
They're not the same anymore. Brother, they don't hesitate when it comes time to witness. You say, why? No fear no more. They've been down there with their first love.
Yeah.
Amen. And brother, when somebody has to go through something, I think Brother Dan Lee's leading somebody to the Lord on his deathbed. Maybe his brother, somebody like that. You say, well, he wasn't afraid of nothing. Listen, he wanted me to kneel down and kiss him on the head. He says, brother, I'm probably not going to see you anymore on this earth.
Yeah.
You know, I did. I bent over there and hugged him and kissed him on the head. And I said, brother, I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about that. He wasn't afraid of that. He was ready to go on. You say, what was that? He's in the fire, man. When you're in the fire, you're next to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in fellowship. You have a desire to tell somebody else. Man, when they come out of that fire, they're telling everybody, hey, did you see that down there? Had to burn us up. It didn't get us, man. Amen. Just think if they had. Well, we live in the New Testament. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. I mean, nobody's ready to die. Unless God gets you ready to die. Sometimes it takes the fire. Sometimes it takes the fire. So Moses there at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 verse 2. You remember the story. There was a fire there. So, well, that was just that kind of bush that they found upon the mountain. Just oh, come on. Give me a break.
Right.
Fire runs all the way through the Word of God. It don't matter what kind of bush it was.
Right.
It was on fire.
Right.
And brother, on fire there, he was on holy ground. And God spoke to him. You say, why? Because he was in the fire for the glory of God. And Moses was a great deliverer, great man of God, great example in the Word of God. Exodus chapter, I think I said, 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That's my God. Amen. Now, we just live too far from the fire. There in the next verse, Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? Brother, we need that kind of desire. We need to want to see. We need our hearts to burn within us with the fire of God. Not only in the church when we hear the Word of God, but when we go out of this place on Monday morning when it's hard and we're back out of the nasty now and now. And then Tuesday rolls around, then hump day, Wednesday. And brother, we need to know that God is still in the fire and still on the throne and puts that fire down on the inside of us. Now, let me go a little further. Verse 4 in Exodus 3, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The reason nobody wants to do anything for God today is they're living too far from the fire. Amen. I mean, just because you have to go through a little something, you think all of a sudden now you're exempt from doing anything from God. No, you're just now qualified. Amen. Amen. I mean, I was talking to Brother Herschel there a minute this morning, and he gave me a great story on commodology. And he fixed that commode back there and found out exactly what was wrong. Well, there's a testimony of a saint here in our midst. When he gets up, he almost preaches. He said, I just want to give my God the glory. Say why? He's been living in the fire. Amen. If you haven't noticed, if you're not too blind, been living in the fire. So he testifies to the goodness of God. I didn't mean to get Herschel involved in the Sunday school class, but amen. Amen. And there's some other folks sitting around in here who've been through some stuff. Amen. And I appreciate you. I'm glad you're willing to go through the fire. Isaiah, the prophet of God, brother, he wanted to do something for God. Most people don't want to do anything for God because they don't want to get close to the fire. You know, if you serve God, you're going to take a little opposition. You're going to get a little fire. Am I out of time? Not yet. Amen. Good thing you brought me water. I even took a sip. I'm moving along too well to slow down now. Isaiah, the prophet, God said, I want you to go do this for me, just like Moses. Moses said, here am I. It all happened around the fire and the burning. I'm talking to you about the fire. And there'd be a fire burning down on the inside of you. And I'd like to kindle that fire a little bit this morning before the preacher gets up and preaches to you. But in Isaiah chapter 6, you remember this. Isaiah chapter 6 and about verse 6. And I'll hurry for time. Then flew one of the seraphims, one of those heavenly, godly creatures. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he said in verse 7, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Brother, our tongue is so filthy and our mouth is so defiled. We need the fire of God to purge us and make us what we ought to be. But it wasn't until the seraphim took a holy coal of fire off the holy altar of God and touched it to his lips, was he able to speak and be the great prophet that he was. I'm telling you, we live too far away from the fire. Amen. Brother, there, church ought to be a place where you can come get a little fire. And I'm not talking about strange fire. I'm not talking about hanging from the chandeliers. Amen. I'm talking about something burning on the inside of you called your heart. Set aflame, set afire. You say, is this a Sunday school class? What do you do when you teach? I don't know. I'm preaching right now. Amen. Huh? I'm trouble hiring these evangelists, brother. They don't know when to preach and when to teach. I'll try to settle down. Amen? When you get too close to the refiner's fire, you know, when he puts you in that refiner's fire, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to lose your image. Amen? All that stuff that makes you you, I mean, some of that's dross. Come on now. And that dross, he's going to skim off the top, and he wants the pure stuff. And brother, when he puts you in refiner's fire, the first thing that you're going to notice, you ain't nobody. John the Baptist had it right. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You say, why? He knew what it was like living in the fire. Amen. I mean, he knew. The prophets of old, they knew. Peter knew. Paul knew. Anybody that I can pick in the Word of God suffered for the cause of Christ, walked with God, wanted to be a witness, and all the things I said in the beginning in the introduction. So here, that's why most folks live too far from the fire. They like who they are. Yes. Amen. They like that image. They like who they are. Not what God likes, but what they like. That's why we live too far. People more like ice than water. You ever notice that? Huh? Like an old ice cube. Brother, hard as nails. And didn't Paul say to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier? And when you run that word hardness down, it's always connected with somebody's hard heart. And isn't it true? We say about people that you can't move with a stick of dynamite. Boy, they got a hard heart. Boy, they got a cold heart. It's like an ice cube, like a block of ice. Now, there's three steps to water. There's the liquid water we can pour out of this. I don't know what this was. I hope they were just what I thought. It ain't kerosene, baby. You can pour that water out of there and you can do something with it. But if it's froze, you got to get it next to the fire and thaw it out before you can actually use it for most of the uses of water. That's how most Christians are. They're block ice, man. They're cold. You couldn't get to their heart with a crowbar and a pry bar right out of the 1611. You can't shake them, man. And brother, you say, what's wrong? They're living too far away from the fire. We want revival in this land, but nobody wants to go do anything. We want to see people get saved, but we don't quit being who we are to come talk to somebody. Amen. I mean, we like who we are. Oh, we can do this. We can do that. We got every excuse under the sun. But I'm telling you, people are more like ice cubes. They're hardened in that hardened form than they are like water droplets. Listen, when it hails, it destroys stuff. When there's a nice droplets of rain come down, I mean, it fertiles, it brings stuff up. You say, why? Because the heat's just right. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So, God wants to use you like a vessel and pour you out. And it's hard to pour a vessel that's frozen over. You can't get anything out of it. I'm about out of time. I'm watching carefully here. Job said this, and I like Job. And Pastor, give me a couple verses. We were talking about this. But in Job 23, he was giving me some passages out of Isaiah. And I never did get them all worked into this, and I apologize. But Job, I like what Job said. Now, Job knew about the fire. You know he did. You read the first few chapters of the book of Job. You read the whole book of Job. It's a picture of the tribulation period for the Jew. Amen. A lot of types going on there. But Job said this. But he knoweth the way, 23:10, that I take. God knows your way. He knows where you're at, where you're going. He said, you know what? The way that I take when he hath tried me. Most people, they want the gold, silver, and precious stone. But they don't want to be tried by the trial of fire. He said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Brother, you know what? He probably had some wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I'm in reference to the judgment seat of Christ, and Job's not there. I understand that. I got that. But there's some fire going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And brother, we're going to be there. Amen. Now, it's not to judge your sin. That was judged at Calvary. But everything you've done since you've been saved is some kind of work for God, for you, or for the devil. Amen, brother. And if you're eat up with image and position and social standing and not God, and you don't like getting next to the fire, then you're making wood, hay, and stubble, according to the Word of God. And he says, when I put the fire of God on that thing, it's going to burn up. Now, I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why anybody in their right Christian mind would trade gold, silver, and precious stone for wood, hay, and stubble. I can't figure it. You say, well, I just can't control myself. Listen, put it in neutral and let God control it. Get next to the heat, amen. Get next to the heat of the Word of God. Get next to the heat of the witness of God. Get next to the heat of the fellowship with God. Get next to the heat of the desire to want to be a Christian for the glory of God. I'm done. I'm not giving an invitation because I know we got more preaching coming. Amen. Amen.